This is RNIB Connect Radio and time to talk tech with Tech Talk's own Tim Schwartz from lifeafterblindness.com. Hello to you, Tim.
Hello, Stephen.
And also Sean Preece is with us as well, a regular Tech Talker. Hello to you, sir.
Hello, how are you all doing?
Well, we're all good. We're all talking tech today because Apple launched some big products last night, and lots of people very excited about this. We've, of course, got the new iPads. We've got new iPhones to talk about, new Apple Watch as well. So, Sean Preece, I'll start with you. What was your big takeaway from the Apple event? And I don't mean what you ate during it.
Oh, that was probably more interesting than the event itself.
But oh, really? Look, okay.
The most surprising, the most shocking thing to come out of this event for me was the return of the iPad mini. And not only that, is that I thought it was the best product they unveiled. I mean, it was, they've really updated it. It's been an age since they've updated the iPad mini. I was surprised that they went there again because of the size of the iPhones. Now, when you're talking about the Pros and Maxes, I thought they would never go back to the iPad mini. But they unveiled the new iPad mini, and it was just, I mean, it was really intriguing, and I've never really looked at it before. But when I compare it to the other products that were released, yeah, for me, the iPad mini was the star of the show.
Okay, so the iPad mini was the star of the show for Sean because, Tim, he wasn't impressed by the other products. Were you impressed by anything else? We had the iPhone 13, the iPhone 13 Pro, and of course the new Apple Watch. Anything in there excite you?
As far as technical updates go and the technology that's in there, and not to get all techy, but all the cores and the GPUs and the CPUs and the modem upgrades for 5G and the speeds and the battery, it's interesting. It is definitely an upgrade. They are definitely better than last year's. However, it is just an upgrade. So if you are somebody who's on an older phone or has an older watch, say the Series 3 or earlier still, or maybe even a 10R phone or the 10s and earlier, this might be something interesting to you. Or because of the releases, maybe last year's models might be what you're going to look for because the prices hopefully will get bumped down a little bit. But other than it just being really good quality speed and battery and operational type updates, there really isn't anything new here enough for me to get excited about. To be very honest, because I'm somebody who likes to get my sleep and good sleep, and I hesitate to say this because you'll try to say a word that you can't say, Mr. Scott, but the guided meditation in Fitness Plus probably is my favorite thing of the whole event.
Oh,
because
you mean the Calm app? Is that what you're trying to say? The Calm app? What am I saying that's wrong? I'm hearing
calm,
it perfectly
calm
fine.
Yourself. Calm yourself, Steve.
I am calm.
Anyway, but no, I mean, in all seriousness, I mean, as a techie guy, yeah, I think all the upgrades are great, but feature-wise, I like guided meditations. I use them almost every night to go to sleep with. I use my sleep phones that are fantastic, and I love that. So to have a guided meditation to use through Fitness Plus, which I'm already paying for anyway, because I pay for the whole, you know, the Apple One thing to get all of them for one price. So I like that. Other than that, I mean, and I say that kind of tongue-in-cheek, but then again, not really, because it is just an upgrade. If anybody is familiar with the old days of Apple events where they had the S series, so it was the in-between years, it was kind of the little bit of a bump of you know, upgrades of processing and things like that, maybe a new feature would be tested or tried out. This felt more like an S upgrade, you know, the middle upgrade, than it was a full big feature upgrade. So I'm actually more interested in what they might have next year with iPhone 14, just because of some of the rumors we've already heard, and Apple Watch for next year, possibly having, you know, glucose monitor, blood pressure monitoring or something like that. Those are the types of things I was looking for. Maybe even in the standard iPhone line, because of course they had the mini and the regular 13, and then they had the two Pro models, the Pro and the Pro Max. The Pro and the Pro Max are still what have the LiDAR sensor in them. They haven't come down to the new 13 or the Mini. To me, that as a blind person, that's something that I would be interested in as well, as if LiDAR moved into the standard line phones. So again, nothing here that's making me move from my iPhone 2020 SE or my Apple Watch Series 4. I'm content for now.
Sean, what about accessibility? What can a blind person take away from this event that perhaps a sighted person might not?
Wow, that's what I'm trying to think about. It's interesting because we were talking to people in the community during the event, and the thing that kept coming up time and time again was, I want that LiDAR. I want that LiDAR sensor, and why hasn't it come down from the top end?
And for those who don't know what that is, Sean, can you explain LiDAR?
LiDAR is way for measuring range, really. So it stands for... Tim, what does it stand for?
This is why he asked you, not me.
Length in distance.
Stephen asked you.
Something.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, who knows, right? But you're right. It's about measuring distance. I mean, and a good example, yeah, of course, is social distancing, right? That it kind of came to prominence.
Exactly right. That. It can measure the real-world environment around you, and it can map it out in 3D. So it can say that person is so many feet away from you. But more than that, I mean the mainstream use for it is more for augmented reality. But when we're thinking about it as an accessibility point of view, being able to walk into a room and it can 3D scan the room and say there's a coffee table 2 feet in front of you, and being that accurate, and when it is incredibly accurate as well, it is really intriguing from an accessibility point of view. And that's what people were really wanting to see, that LiDAR became accessible to more devices at a more affordable price range rather than the top end. But as to what's to get excited about from accessibility from this event, hardware-wise, I can't think of a single thing other than iOS 15, of course, which does bring some interesting things such as live text. But from actual hardware, I don't think there's anything particularly to get excited about, I'm sorry to say.
So when you talk about the accessibility of the software, because you're right, iOS 15 is going to be coming out. We don't have a date release on that yet. I think a lot of people thought it may be over the next couple of weeks, but that may not be the case. We don't know yet.
It's not ready.
It's not ready yet, no, clearly.
I've been using it for a month or so, and it's close, but there's still too many small little things that just need to get worked out.
But for those people who aren't buying new hardware, for those people who can't afford new hardware, for those people who've spent, you know, their life savings on a new iPhone and they're quite happy just to hold off, you know, for a good while before they upgrade, they are going to get a bump in performance, at least, with the new features of iOS 15, correct?
Well, I'm not sure about performance, but you will get access to the new features. You can explore images, and as I said, the most exciting one for me is the real-time reading of text, and you can act upon that text. So if you point your camera at a sign or a menu with a telephone number or a link to a website, you can actually tap on that and it will take you there or make the call. That sort of thing is really cool. And iOS 15 will be available from, I think it's even the iPhone 6S upwards. So a lot of people are going to be able to access iOS 15. And like I said, I think that's far more exciting than actually the hardware that was on show.
And that's kind of the neat thing about iOS 15, because it will give your older phones a performance bump. On my iPhone 7, it has made it a bit more easy to use, I guess I should say. It does seem a little more seamless when it opens things and uses apps. And I think the computational power of the hardware will help with those apps and other services. But again, do you really need what iPhone 13 is going to offer to get that bump for that computational, you know, power? I don't think so. I think iOS 15 is going to be enough under the hood to help. There was a particular app that they demonstrated during the event, which I found out later is called Seek, I believe S-E-E-K, and it was talking about being able to identify plants and trees and flowers and things in the outdoors. And there is a niche kind of market for that, but my ears perked up at that and made me go research it, because it's the identification of something. And so the computational power of iOS 15 alone, without having all the new hardware, it can do it just on its own, to be able to identify plants, you know, just based on what they look like and you know, trees and things like that. That intrigues me as a blind person, not to identify plants specifically, of course, you know, not for me. I'm not a botanist, and I definitely don't go hiking, but there are those people. But just the idea that computational power is there to identify something like a plant, like a flower, like a tree, what more can it specifically identify in the future? So that gives me some hope. But again, I don't think I really need an iPhone 13 to do that.
No.
What about coronavirus? How has that played a part, do you think, in the announcements this time around? Normally we would see lots of new products, maybe more products than we actually saw, better availability, the watch, for example, not being available until later in autumn and not being available right away. So do you think coronavirus has had an impact here?
Only as far as you mentioned there, from availability. When it comes to actually their hardware choices, the features that they put in there, I think absolutely not, because you know this iPhone 13 was probably planned out 4 years ago, who knows how long ago. Apple don't work on that sort of time frame where the last year or two would have affected the design of it. But I do believe, yes, when it comes to availability and maybe staggering out the time that you can actually get your hands on any of these devices, then it's definitely had an effect.
Yeah, Apple typically iterates about 2 years ahead or two cycles ahead. And so these are things that they've already been working on. And I do have to say, if you're somebody with limited or some vision or you are totally sighted, there are some things to get excited about here. The 120 hertz display allows it to be always on the lock screen, and that's in the Pro and Pro Max models, of course. So you can have the always on screen. It's going to be vibrant. If you're playing games, it's going to be very seamless. The graphics, the graphics card GPU that they put in there, it's going to look unbelievable. The camera is going to be just, second to none. It's going to be an amazing experience if you've got the vision and if you've got the interest in what it looks like and what it can do as far as a video camera, photography camera, taking videos and cinematic mode and things like that. So there are some things from that aspect to get excited about. But if you're somebody who has very limited or no vision at all, it's maybe a next year type thing, and we'll see what they iterate for next year.
Well, Tech Talk's back Tuesday at 1 p.m. of course. You can check it out here on RNIB Connect Radio. We'll be talking lots more about this, I'm sure. For now, Tim Schwartz and Sean Priest, thank you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
This is RNIB Connect Radio.